Welcome to Let's Do Lunch,
a podcast about life, tech, trends, spoiler alert,
and whatever else comes up.
I'm Jared.
And I'm John. And you are the listener.
The chosen few, the proud, the bold.
Those who sift through a few NC-17 ratings to discover this, the finest jewel of discourse.
Those who don't really mind those sloppy eating sounds.
Who dare to join two average white nerds in a lunch conversation.
For the next hour, you're one of us.
Like, metaphorically, right? I'm still John?
Not now, John. Save the banter for the lunch.
Today on Let's Do Lunch.
7 of those responses are terrible.
And you pick one of those usually.
Yeah.
So my wife and I were talking about...
Menage a trois?
Well, yes, that too.
These are the jokes, people.
I feel good about that one, though.
If you don't like them, why don't you find another podcast? Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome back to you, too.
All right.
Yeah.
You're looking good.
Fresh
haircut, I see.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you noticed.
Well,
Or is it that I've lost weight?
One of those.
I'm just saying, I have actually done both, so it's hard to say this time what's really going on.
Yeah.
What is chimichurri?
You know, where, does it just say that twice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a sauce.
Well, it does say chimichurri sauce, but it doesn't tell me what it is. Is that a hollandaise? A holiday sauce?
Jeez, man, I guess I haven't like been a waiter for long enough. I couldn't tell you.
Mm.
But they do have it up there on that big board where they've written everything, including the matcha latte pancakes. I mean, how much better can it be than matcha latte pancakes?
You know,
they have ancient grains and protein bowl listed up there, but they put the ancient and protein right next to each other, so it looks like one of the orders is ancient protein. So like, King Tut's like.
You're
stuff.
Right. You know, I gotta say that is one of the best I've seen for chalkboard writing in a restaurant. Look at that detail on that. I mean, it looks like it could have been printed. Did they use stencils? They must have used stencils. Look at that.
Hmm.
Look at, like, the bacon and, like how clean that was.
Well, that million-dollar bacon, I remember that being a long-term thing. So, I mean, I'm sure they probably hired somebody. But you know what? Check out the B in bacon right there. You see how...
The top is a little thicker than the bottom?
No, the top indent in the B... right at the middle ground there. There's a little extra line. So they hired somebody to do that professionally, and he did a stellar job.
Are you all set to order? Need a few more minutes?
Do you know what you're getting?
I know what I'm getting.
I'm getting what I'm getting.
I think I'll go with the bacato.
Sure thing.
I think I know what I want, but what is chimichurri?
It's like a savory sauce close to like a pesto type of sauce. It's a herb sauce. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get the chicken chimichurri hash.
Sure.
That's fun to say. Chicken chimichurri.
Uh-huh.
And
I mean, that's
like
half of a...
Over... It's not easy. Medium.
Over medium.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
Chicken chimichurri is like half of a haiku right there.
It is.
Yeah.
In fact, it is a haiku. Someone is
Except
telling me.
I don't think we're doing this anymore.
No, well, we just throw on the menus now anyway. But
yeah.
Someone's telling me they saw this amazing haiku shirt. And I can't remember the exact haiku, but it was something like. I can't remember the actual haiku, so it's not going to be as funny. But it was something like, I love haikus, but they don't have to make sense. Watermelon. Or something
nice.
Like that. It was really cool. I really should have gotten the actual haiku down.
That's
but
fine.
But it did actually space out right.
Yeah.
The original.
I remember my answering machine message back in the day when I got one of my first cell phones is, this is John, please leave a message, sometime soon I will respond, this is a haiku. Something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But saying this is a haiku takes up your whole last line.
Right.
So...
Right.
If you're
and
really
also,
creative, we'll stop to.
It also cuts out how much creativity you need. So, no problem solved
there.
That's
true.
You only need to be 2/3 as creative if your last line is always, this is a haiku.
You know, now I think I want to do that, but now it wouldn't be original anymore, so now I can't do that. So thank you for ruining my life.
Really, how many haikus are original? They're just words. Come on, man.
I had an assignment in one of my college classes where we were learning haikus, and I had to write some. And I was very proud of my original haikus I came up with.
Uh-huh.
For the record, they were all original.
Okay.
I had one about
but
walking around.
But you didn't Google them, right?
No. Fully original, 100%.
All right.
I mean, there's no way. I had one about walking in flip-flops and slipping in the rainwater.
Okay.
There's no way someone else has that haiku.
I mean, maybe not flip-flops per se, but I guarantee you somebody had those Japanese sandals and they slipped in rainwater.
No, that's why they have the little, like, wood stilts built into the bottom of them, so they don't slip.
But their stilts broke. You've seen those movies.
She's running to catch the airplane, yeah. And her stilt breaks off the end, and yeah, that's the Asian version of a chick flick, I guess.
It happens.
It's so common anymore.
I mean, we don't see it because we're all the way on the other side of the Pacific Ocean here.
What was that movie, The Geisha Diaries or something like that?
Memoirs of a Geisha.
I'm sure there was a scene in there like that.
That's actually really funny. It's good seeing you again.
It's been a long time. We almost didn't make this week happen, too. It was a close call.
We've been pushing it back. We've been slacking. But that's okay, because when you're running a podcast with one listener, you can take however long you want.
And that one listener counts both of us. So.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, boy. Good times. I tell you, I am so hungry these days.
Because your Soylent reserves? You're still Soylenting it up, right?
I am.
You know, I sold it to somebody else, too.
Yeah,
like, there was somebody else at my work that said that she wanted some kind of shake that could replace a meal. And I'm like, boom, here you go.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I've had a few students do it. Another teacher that I co-teach with, he's really skinny, and he just gets caught up and forgets to eat and stuff. And so every once in a while, he'll hit me up for a Soylent. I always keep a couple on my desk because you never know.
Whoa.
So
this is bringing back some memories of when I was in high school and I used to sell caffeine pills to kids.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
I never knew about this little side hustle.
I was a drug dealer for a little while, just for a couple of weeks.
How did I not know this?
Yeah, man.
Weren't we friends in high school?
Yeah, but...
this is like an alternate life kind of thing?
I don't think I knew you well enough to get you, like, I didn't know that you wouldn't snitch on me.
Oh, that's true. I would have snitched on you for sure. Yeah, definitely. Especially, if it was something in it for me.
Yeah, if a principal came over and said, I'll give you a caffeine pill. He did it.
Right. No, he could have done, I would have done it for a Klondike bar.
I mean, who wouldn't? Those things are delicious.
What would you do for a Klondike bar? Free advertising?
Yeah,
I really need to get these sponsors on board.
Maybe I should have a Dr. Pepper instead of just a generic brand coffee, because, I don't know, first off, I haven't gotten enough sleep the past couple of nights. I've been experimenting with different absinthe recipes.
Oh my gosh.
I gotta tell you, if we're ever gonna, like, go get wrecked or something, if you're ever open to that, I do not encourage regular alcohol, but absinthe is a whole other thing. Like, you can, I've had, like, a couple of shots of absinthe and then did one or two shots of regular liquor, and suddenly my buzz just falls apart and I'm, like, all spinny, and it's just not fun. Because
absinthe,
that's how...
keeps a maintained high without
you're still intellectual. I asked my wife to quiz me on something that I would normally be able to answer, and she said, why is March 5th, 2025 celebrated numerically? Why is that going to be a big deal? I'm like, oh, Square Day. May 5th, 2020. I made that mistake when I was drunk, too.
Yeah.
She said May 5th, and I thought March 5th. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to say 3-5. No, that's not quite. Okay.
I kind of like April 5th, 2025, because if you do 4-5 squared, that's 2025.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cooler. We should celebrate that when we still have our podcast, and maybe we have a third listener.
We need to put that on the calendar now, because we're going to get pretty busy, and we got to make sure we block that open.
Yeah, it's going to get so, like, there's going to be girls, like, somewhere.
Somewhere. You know, what's weird is thinking about it, there wasn't a long time ago when the year 2025 sounded like a ridiculous future date, but...
talking less than 10 years from now. It's not that far away anymore.
No,
it feels like it should be, but it's not.
No, there are a couple of sci-fi movies that were made in the 60s that said in futuristic 1982.
Well, 1985 was a classic example of that.
You mean 1984?
Yeah, see how bad I am.
That's all right. You haven't had any caffeine yet today.
Yeah. Back to the Future 2 took place in the futuristic year of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's old now.
Well, I mean, we have our shoes that inflate around our feet. We don't have our hoverboards, but we do have our flux capacitors.
I do have a hoverboard. It has wheels. It's a bit of a misnomer.
Uh-huh.
But it's called a hoverboard.
Well, I mean, if that sounds like enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, though, when you're cruising around on a hoverboard and you've gotten the stability down right, because it took me a little while to really feel stable on one, it does kind of feel like you're just hovering. It's kind of cool.
But have you ever hovered before?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of the Rick and Morty where they did the true level.
Oh, yeah.
That was such a wonderful bit.
And he just couldn't, like, get over how amazing it was.
Yeah.
And once he was out, the rest of his life was
meaningless. The whole world is crooked.
That was pretty funny.
Good times.
Speaking of Rick and Morty, I caught, just by accident, caught the season.
Ooh, that was quick. All right.
Thank you. That's a very green dish. And I knew I had a green sauce going in. But honestly, green is not a super appetizing color.
Uh-huh.
The eggs look green. The potatoes look green. The glaze is green.
Are you just like a anti-food snob now?
No.
Like you won't eat food unless it absolutely appeals to you?
Well, I definitely am more picky.
Uh-huh.
Because there's less quantity. So it's like I got to make sure that what I put in is worth it to me.
Oh, like the Ratatouille critic.
Did you say Ratatouille?
Ratatouille critic. So there's a Disney movie.
No, you say Ratatouille weird.
Well, I mean,
Ratatouille. It's Ratatouille.
I'm just trying to enunciate so that the listener can figure it out.
Okay, my bad.
It's anyway, very important.
I do know what you're referring to. He was too snobbish for Ratatouille.
Yeah, they said, if you're such a great critic, why are you so skinny? And he says, if I don't like what I eat, I don't swallow. Boom. So I think that's what you're becoming.
Well, no. I'm not that... That's a great comeback, though.
I don't know if this first watch has been a first watch for very long. I remember the first time that I went to a first watch was like 2004, and I recognized the military reference. Because the concept is when you need to guard something for 24 hours, you'll split that up into three separate groups, or maybe four groups of a first watch and a second watch and a third watch. So the first watch, those are the people that have to do it in the morning, so they need to come to an early breakfast restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they were trying to sell with the concept of the first watch.
Okay, but see, now here's the thing I'm confused about. A first watch. This is a chain?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was like a local cutesy thing.
Oh, no, they've been around for decades.
Hmm.
But my wife decided that this little podcast thing that I'm doing is going to be a greater part of my life. So she picked out a couple of close restaurants that we can go to that are, you know, not chains, that aren't, you know, Bennigan's.
Well, I don't mind a chain here and there, especially a chain like this that's kind of an underground chain. But I like that your wife did that, because I do sometimes go, oh gosh, we're going to go this route. And it's harder now that we're having an earlier lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this.
Well, fortunately, a lot of these places shut down within about a year, and then a new one opens up. And then we can just go to that one.
I was going
to
say, that's not unfortunate. That's perfect for us.
Yeah, I said fortunately for us.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said unfortunate.
While I was waiting for you, someone else was also waiting, and the waitress came over and asked if your friend is coming soon. And so I had to glance over and check to see if, like, that was you, and you missed me.
Wow.
I got very paranoid.
Were they worried? Were they thinking they were going to take away your seat if I didn't come soon or something?
Oh, no, no.
Oh.
They'll let you sit at a restaurant for like 4 hours before calling the cops, unless you're black.
I was going to say, unless you're black and in Starbucks, that might not be the case.
So messed up. That is, that's our world.
I've been sitting in Starbucks, not buying stuff before, but not in Seattle or wherever this place happened. Where did it happen?
I want to say Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Like Philadelphia. Not even like deep rural Pennsylvania where it's all Amish and there's, you know, happens to be a Starbucks there.
Yes, because I'm sure the Starbucks in Amish country
is just
popping. Oh, come on.
They'll slip everywhere. They don't care. And you got your Rumspringa girls.
But their free Wi-Fi is horrible over there.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead, what they do is they just line up a bunch of Amish people and they yell down like a deal down the line from farm to farm.
Oh, yeah.
That's their...
Like the Terry Pratchett clacks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now that is a deep reference.
Still doing good, yep. So,
good.
We're going to be here for a bit, though.
Yeah, no
sorry.
Problem. This is here for you whenever you're ready. There's no rush. You just take that up front on your way out. Then all that's right. Where they'll get you all paid for.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, Terry Pratchett. That's a... I wonder how many of our listener will get that one.
I think based on what you and I kind of generally discuss, anybody who is continually interested in our general speak will probably be at least slightly familiar with Terry Pratchett.
That's true. I hope so. You know, you got to think about it, though. That's a pretty ingenious concept.
Oh,
Pratchett's dude, come up with some amazing things.
Dude came up with so much great stuff. Just the whole death series that he's fascinated by humans and trying to replicate it in his home, but the squeak on the door isn't quite right.
But you know, the other thing is, he's a flat earther.
Shut up.
I'm just saying. On the back of a turtle flying through space. I think we all know that's flat earth right there.
Mm-hmm. But for some reason, he couldn't come out. He wasn't brave enough to tell the world his true beliefs.
Yeah. Well, so now there's a question. Are his stories meant to be another world that's actually that way? Or is it maybe like a long time ago on this planet? Or a future of this planet, maybe? What do you think?
If he was a flat earther, then... then it would be easy to say that, yes, there was this Earth, and then there was this great destructive upheaval, and then we came back together. But there are so many events and details, and like the whole fifth elephant concept. Are you familiar with that at all? Did you read all of them?
Not all of them, but I know of it.
So when you dig down enough in the Terry Pratchett Discworld, you get into, like, the bone marrow of the elephants that are supporting...
Yeah, but there's only four, and everyone knows it.
Sure. But you get into that bone marrow, and those bones are made of gold and all of those heavy metals. That's why those elephants are so big. So So anyone who mines would know that they were mining into an elephant. So not only would you need to cover up, you know, the FAA, but you'd also need to cover up, you know, miners.
Like people under 18?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's why you have to click on that I guarantee that I am 18 years old whenever you're looking at certain sites.
Because that's very effective.
Like liquor sites is what I mean, not, you know, other sites.
Liquor? I hardly even know her.
Hey-o! These are the jokes, people.
I feel good about that one, though.
If you don't like them, why don't you find another podcast?
Hey, this is John. That was just the appetizer. You want a full course meal? Keep listening.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Bodine Tech. Bodine Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Bodine Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Bodine Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.
Simpsons, we're on Simpsons, had its 636th episode.
Well, there's a milestone.
And has surpassed Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It did come this season. I thought it was going to happen in season 30.
So you haven't seen that one yet?
No, did they talk about it?
Neither have I.
I have it downloaded. It's ready to go.
I read that the opening had something to do with Gunsmoke, but I'm super done with Simpsons. Like, I mean, I know so much about the first bunch of seasons, but anything beyond that, they should have stopped.
Well, I certainly don't have the depth of the later seasons than I do of the first, but I do try to keep up with the more recent stuff too, somewhat recent.
Yeah,
did you hear what happened with graining this last week?
No.
he did an interview. And the whole Apu thing that we talked about last week came up again.
Of course it
did. And he got some flack for what he said on that interview. Some people are saying Matt Groening's comments are proof that The Simpsons need to be canceled. That's how bad that they thought he reacted, or his response was. Basically, he said, well, he didn't use the much Apu about nothing reference, but his overall feeling was this whole Apu thing was much ado about nothing. And he said, some people just love to be offended. And he just kind of shrugged it off, like, it'll go away, whatever. I'm not saying what he said, I'm paraphrasing. Uh-huh. But he did say something very much to the effect of, some people just love to pretend to be offended. Okay. People over-exaggerate their offense to make a point, which I honestly think this comedian did. It was a poo that egregious, really. Well, we talked about this before, so we don't need to dig into that.
Yeah, I don't know the controversy. I can see how it, along with many other things, needs to change, and I don't see why it can't change.
I don't see why it needs to change.
Well, Hank Azaria said he's okay with it.
Yeah, he has a career to keep alive. He talked about it in depth on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
I saw that. And, I don't know, it seems a little like CYA.
Or, maybe he cares what people think.
Or he cares what people think, but I don't know. I hate to do this to someone who I respect so much in their field.
Uh-huh.
But I don't feel like he's super sincere about how even he is concerned about Apu. I just don't buy it.
Well, I didn't see it, but I could see either way. I'm not really willing to fight that.
No, I agree. I'm not really willing to fight it either way. If the Simpsons want to go that way, they can go that way. If they don't, they don't. I'm not offended either way. I guess it's because I'm less invested in Simpsons going forward than I was in the past. But could you imagine the Simpsons without Apu now? Like, I mean, looking back on all the great seasons that we've had, could you imagine the Simpsons without him? He's so integral, so many storylines. Like when he went and lived with the Simpsons for a while, the vegetarian episode, you know, his octuplets and his wife, where he got married that episode. There's so much good that has come out of him. And he's not a bad character. He's not a moron. He's not one of the idiots. You know.
I remember he was, wasn't he one of the Mensa members?
No, he's not Mensa. Even if he was, he wouldn't have time to go to Mensa because he's busy working at the Quickie Mart. The only, I guess, more immoral, disreputable thing he does is his quality of food that he continues to sell willingly.
Yeah.
That's his only major character foible. Other than that, he's actually a really good, hardworking guy. I don't see it as a negative stereotype at all.
Well,
And the fact that he's voiced by a white guy is probably their biggest concern. If they just got a guy who's Indian to do it, it wouldn't be a problem anymore.
Yeah, but that's a money thing, you know? They never cared about the quality of their impersonations. They just had two people do as many voices as they could. Which is why I remember seeing something about, I don't know if you saw it too, there was I think it might have been Hank Azaria, or one of the people that did, you know, numerous voices on The Simpsons, talking about Mel Blanc, and how one of his favorite moments of Mel Blanc is when they did the rabbit season, duck season, and Bugs Bunny came out dressed as Daffy Duck, and Daffy Duck came out dressed as Bugs Bunny, and the two characters were doing each other's voices. And they said they tried something like that on The Simpsons, where, like, Apu would try to do Chief Wiggum's voice or something like that, and it just sounded like garbage. So, a level of, you know,
Mel Blanc
quality
is in a league of his own.
Yeah.
He really, or was. Is he dead now?
He's dead, right? Yeah, he's done. He held the record for a little while, the Guinness record of the most voices.
In cartoons?
In like one series or whatever. But then I'm pretty sure somebody else took him. The guy that did the voice for the audiobook of Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. But he did a whole bunch of voices for all of the different characters that George R. R. Martin created.
One guy did all those different voices?
Yeah.
Male and female?
Yeah, he did it all.
That's pretty impressive.
It's impressive, except between, like, book 2 and 3, he changed the voices on characters.
Oh, you can't be doing that.
So, I don't know if that counted as, like, different voices or the same voice. Mm. I don't know. We need to remember the listener here. So listening is great. You should really listen more.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, you can also just read the transcripts. That way you get both from us.
Asterisk, John laughs on asterisk.
I mean, the stenographer that we pay to sit with us at every lunch, worth her weight in gold.
And so quiet.
She's amazing.
You know?
Well, I'm sure the ambient sound of the restaurant helps hide her clacking away at that device there. What do you call that device?
The stenograph. The stenograph.
Stenograph?
Yeah.
I'm sure that tracks. Now we have another gig for our fact checker, who's also waiting in the wings.
One of my favorite things from Night Court, one of my favorite jokes from that is when one defendant who, you know, had a history of swearing got up to defend himself, and the stenographer once said, "Ooh, now I get to use my dirty keys." And I thought that was hilarious.
That's a pretty good line. So, back on cartoon voices, who's your favorite voice for cartoons? Like your favorite voice actor?
Mark Hamill. I mean, just for the Joker.
The Joker.
There's never been a better cartoon Joker.
And all of the cartoon Jokers that have come since feel like they're just trying to do Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with that.
And like that really he good. Went from Luke Skywalker, the noblest, you know, nicest guy, to the Joker. I mean, that's...
And he doesn't sound anything like himself.
Yeah.
He does the Joker so well.
Yeah, he crushed it.
I gotta give him credit for that.
For just one individual voice, definitely Mark
Hamill. But see, that's the only thing he's really known for in terms of voice acting. Because he has done other gigs.
Yeah.
But that's his biggie.
For multiple characters, the guy that does Nibbler, I forget his name, in Futurama.
I know who Nibbler is, I don't know who the voice actor is. But one of mine is from Futurama as well. The voice of Bender.
Yeah.
John DiMaggio.
I don't like him. He did a Joker that was terrible.
Well, okay. Not everything he's done as well, but he's one of my tops. I really like
him.
He's
done good. Frank Welker, that's his name. The guy that does Nibbler is named Frank Welker, and if you've ever heard a dog bark on a cartoon, that was Frank Welker. He's done everything. I'm pretty sure he did Scooby-Doo and not the one that Casey Kasem did, but like the Blonde Kid.
The Blonde Kid?
Yeah, Frank Ed.
The one that wears the ascot?
Yeah.
In the original series?
Roma, Shaggy...
How old is that guy then? He's got to be old.
He's ancient, but he's done everything.
I didn't know he did Nibbler.
Yeah.
I assumed it was just someone else they already had on staff, because that's a pretty... Well, did he do Nibbler?
Both. Well, both the talking and the...
Okay. Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like two different people.
Nope, that's entirely him. That guy is a legend in voice acting.
You know who I like also? But he doesn't do a lot, but it's just what he does, I just love the way he does it. H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot. He does the same voice.
No, he doesn't. But I love his voice.
He has a very good single voice.
Yeah, well, but you know, you chose Mark Hamill for one voice.
Yeah.
I just love H. John Benjamin's voice in these cartoons. I mean, yeah, Bob from Bob's Burgers and Archer from Archer.
Uh-huh.
There's no difference between the two voices.
No.
The only difference is, he does do difference in mannerisms. You know, the O's and ums and ahs.
Yeah.
He throws those in for Bob, whereas Archer is more definitive. But...
I think that's all scripted, though. Like, he's reading exactly what they've written for him.
Well, not exactly. I mean, if voice actors did that, we would have annoyed grunt instead of dope.
But those O's and ahs and ums are not written in... to Archer's character, but I think they are written in to the Bob's Burger character. What's his name? Who's the main character guy in Bob's Burgers?
Bob.
Bob. Okay. Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. Obviously, I left out Hank Azaria, and he is one of my absolute favorites as well.
He has no, like...
No range? Really?
No range, no.
Hank Azaria.
He has... Not range, but he has no creativity.
You're saying this facetiously, right?
No.
You're actually serious.
I do not believe that Hank Azaria has creativity. He...
Wow.
he does what is convenient, what is simple. You know, he has a stereotype for what this character is going to sound like, and then he just does it. And he doesn't do anything complicated with it.
I don't know if I agree with that. That's pretty harsh.
Yeah. I think he'd agree with that.
Have you seen Mystery Men?
I don't remember it.
I really liked him in Mystery Men.
Oh, he was,
The Blue Rajah.
Yeah.
With a British accent. Really a white guy with an American accent. Uh-huh. And he does all those together really well. In one movie. And he snaps in and out of it really quick, too. Like, his mom walks in on him. And says, like, oh, Mom, jeez. And then he's back to this sort of British accent. It's really awesome.
Yeah. He's got speed, and he's got many different things that he's done.
But look at all the voices he's done on The Simpsons alone.
Yeah, but they're just copies of other things.
Oh, come on. I think that's a very unfair statement.
No, he said it himself, that Lou was Sylvester Stallone. Lou the police guy?
Well, yeah, he's inspired, but Lou doesn't actually...
Not inspired, he just did the voice.
He did his version of it.
Not his version, he did the voice. He did his best copy of Sylvester Stallone. And they're like, okay, we'll use that for Lou.
Pretty much all of the voice actors have that sort of process. Like, the guy who did Dan Castellaneta does Homer. He said that, you know, he mixed, like, he had this guy's voice, and he kind of threw in a little this guy's voice with time, and then he ended up making the Homer voice... And, you know, listen to the first few Homers. They did sound very different.
Sure.
But
it's that. But it's that creativity that Dan Castellaneta did. Dan Castellaneta did by mixing those voices that Hank Azaria is not doing.
Hank's Apu is not based on any specific person.
It's not based on just an Indian stereotype.
It's based on the character of Apu that he created in his mind using a
picture of what he looks like.
Well, I don't know if he saw the picture before he did the voice. I highly doubt he did. I mean, obviously he knew the ethnicity going in, because that's the whole point of the accent, but I don't know. I would say that he probably has more creativity than you're giving him credit for.
Well, I'd like to meet him someday.
Let's Do Lunch is brought to you in part by Tipping. Give it a try!
So my wife and I were talking about...
A menage a trois?
Well, yes, that too. But that's for a discussion with you and your wife.
Yeah, I told you that I'm interested, but, you know, it's going to take a while to talk my wife into it, too.
I mean, first, you got to learn French. That's hard. you know, I've been on this weight loss kick.
Sure.
I've now lost 40 pounds.
No, I can tell. You're doing great.
So it's
Keep
fun.
It up.
It's been fun. And I have certain milestones. My next milestone is about 10 pounds away. Depending on how big of a meal I end up having today. But right now, as of this morning, I'm 10 pounds away from my next milestone. So it's a big milestone for me, and we're talking about, like, maybe a reward or a treat or something.
Okay. And so the menage a trois.
Well, yeah. Actually, you did come up in it, though. That's the thing. My wife suggested that I go and have some sort of guys' night out kind of thing.
Okay.
And she suggested you. I don't know why you, but she
well,
did.
Well, I would suppose... I mean, I don't know what the rest of your life is, but I think you probably spent the most time with me over the past year.
That's probably true. Yeah.
And we seem to have a lot in common.
Except politics.
except for my pages and pages of notes that I have.
Oh, man.
For when we get back into it.
Let's circle back to that. I actually do want to talk about that, but not about that. Just
sure,
that.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway, so... She suggests like a guy's night out kind of thing. Not necessarily a ruckus, you know, go nuts kind of night.
Or neither a fracas. You don't want to have a ruckus or a fracas.
Yeah, they're too similar.
Yeah.
So our stenographer is having trouble keeping up writing the difference between those two. But like a casino hangout thing. And I was thinking I've never gone gambling.
Uh-huh.
Ever. Literally. Never, ever. I have no idea what I would do in a casino. If I ever, just for the fun of it, just one time want to try it, I definitely have to bring you.
Yeah. No, I would...
I can't go in blind.
I would drastically boost, you know, your enjoyment and your chances. Because
exactly.
I understand these games. If there's anything that I understand besides nuclear power, it's casino games.
A common related skill set.
Yeah. So. They both start with C. No, they don't.
Fusion? has a silent C. It's a Russian word, that's why. Those Russians love to sneak in C's.
Yeah. They're sneaky.
Backward R's. But yeah, so if that happens, we'll have to work on maybe figuring out a night or a time to maybe do a thing where we, you know, you show me the ropes, we'll go out and have a night.
We can talk about that. I don't. I would not be allowed to gamble at my casino.
I figured as such.
And I don't know. You probably wouldn't be going out to Vegas because that's more than just a night.
We could. I have access to a timeshare.
Huh.
LDL hits the road. It's tax deductible. It's for our podcast.
Someday.
That might be interesting, actually. We should think about actually doing a Vegas and do it. Like, we can go to like more fancy restaurants, like a Gordon Ramsay thing one night or something, and do a cast from there.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of neat.
Except, like, the second half of our podcast would be like, I can't believe we spent all of our money, and now we're eating hot dogs. But at least it's Pink's. Yeah, at least it's Pink's.
See? We've already scripted out. Oh, I let away the secret that this is a scripted show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. We're going to get in trouble now. Our listener is going to feel so lied to.
Good thing I can read so fast.
Yeah.
Wait, that was my line.
Oh, dang it. See, this is what happens when you don't highlight your lines. You should know better. And now the stenographer's trying to keep up because we're going off script.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for her when we stay on script.
So wait, she's stenographing something that we're reading?
Well, we just have so much cash. We have so much cash to blow through. It just seemed like a right fit. So, let's talk about our politics thing a little
bit. Okay, we're not going to go into the actual politics.
No, I want to talk about our conversation of it.
That we have been having a... Because, like, we've stumbled onto politics several times on this podcast, and, like, we can't talk about it because it's not any... I don't think it's something that people would enjoy listening to.
You know, interestingly, though, I have always been much more comfortable with the politic talk on the podcast than you. And I've even... You know, I think we might have mentioned this before. I've even put some of our politic conversations into the podcast, which you later kind of suggested we remove and
well,
alter.
Well, not suggested. I actually took it out myself.
Yeah, and that last one, I was so busy at the time, I couldn't even go back and re-edit it. So I had you do the re-editing on that one. And it wasn't that I was refusing to play along. It was just I just thought, well, I've got to move forward. But I have no objection to you doing whatever edits you felt necessary. But you decided, or you mentioned, what if we get these politic things
out of the way in text message
via
text, and then we wouldn't have to bring it up on the cast.
And I have to say, no offense, it was a disastrous exchange. I did not enjoy it. I felt like, and I think you and I will both agree to disagree about the usefulness of that exchange. I felt like I was winning and you were not smart enough to see it, and you felt like you were winning and I was not smart enough to see it.
Uh-huh.
Am I wrong?
I don't agree with your assessment, but I agree with... I thought that we were just about to get somewhere.
Did you?
Yeah.
I felt like... I don't know. I felt like it took all the fun out of it, too.
Well, this isn't about fun. This is about, like, removing the pain that I've been feeling. I've been suffering these past several years trying to have a conversation with you.
Well, wait, years? It's only been since Trump.
He's been in office for about a year and a half.
Right.
And we've been talking about it for over 6 months, for about 6 months since he, you know, declared his intention.
Were we really talking about him before the election that much? I don't recall.
Not a ton. There were a couple of episodes when we were talking about the run-up to it.
Okay. I do remember we talked about him, like, right before the election.
Uh-huh.
So, when he was the official candidate.
Yeah.
So you've been having all these pent-up political issues.
It's been bothering me all of this time, because you'll say something, and I'm not good at direct... expressing my... Because the thing is, you'll say something and I'll have 12 responses to it. And 7 of those responses are terrible.
And you pick one of those usually.
Yeah. When I'm pressed...
on the spot.
When I'm on the spot, I'll pick one of those terrible ones. So when I'm doing a text message thing, then I can say, oh yeah, these are terrible. I should ignore those. Look at those other 4.
I see where you're coming from. And at the risk of ruining this friendship, I don't think your arguments you made in the text messages were any better than the ones you bring up verbally. Maybe that's not an insult. Maybe that's a compliment to the ones you thought were bad. But I don't think your arguments were any different via text or in person.
I
felt like it was the same thing either way.
I think that we were getting somewhere.
Well, part of it was these text messages were happening during the time that I was teaching, like literally teaching. I taught until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And unless I had my students working on some sort of self-guided project, which wasn't often, I was unable to text you back.
Yeah.
Mostly it was a text message and then like half a day later a response or two.
Right.
And I thought that also made our conversation just lost the momentum. And so that's another reason why I felt like it was less desirable, is because it just didn't... It was disjointed. We couldn't keep ourselves cohesive.
Uh-huh.
The other problem is, when it comes to politics, you are extremely, and again, this isn't meant to be a negative connotation,
sure,
but you're quite entrenched in your beliefs, and I'm quite entrenched in mine, and we are not very good at convincing each other otherwise.
I wasn't very entrenched 2 years ago.
No, you weren't. No. I remember that about you, but you have been very much polarized in this last presidential term.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I've noticed it,
yeah,
about you. You actually were much more conservative-esque leaning than now. You're very liberal compared,
yeah,
to before.
No, I haven't even gotten into my real, like, I have one that I know I am certain that you're going to disagree with. What did I say here?
If it's political based, I'm certain I will, because you and I have divided so far in politics from where we were in high school. It's quite stark.
I started it with, I'm going to go deep left here.
Well, at least you know what to expect.
Yeah. No, but there's been a separate. You know what's interesting? I mean, it's not a beacon. It's not where we're looking for. But Kanye West,
yes,
has been,
oh my,
teasing,
gosh,
both sides of the aisle right now, in possibly a hopes to get people to, you know, come together either against him or around him.
No, you see, I'm going to sound mean here, but I don't think Kanye West is necessarily the brightest bulb in
the
box.
No, he's not.
I don't think there's a greater plan here. I think he's just being him.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
this has always
been him, is trying to say something that'll, you know.
You think it's about boosting
things,
his profile?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's about rallying people?
Because no, it's entirely about him.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't think there's a greater good at work here.
I went to a Kanye West concert. That was entirely about him.
You really did?
Yeah.
What happened?
I just wanted to check out a couple of other different, you know, musicians.
Did you pay to go to a Kanye West concert?
I mean, my wife paid.
Wow. Well, you should be grateful he even showed up to this. What's that? What they say in... Bigger, Faster, Stronger, whatever, his Daft Punk parody.
Uh-huh.
Or not parody, sample.
Yeah.
He says, you know, you're all upset by my lateness, but you should be grateful I showed up to this,
yeah,
something mess or something like that.
To this fake, and then he used a profanity.
Right, that's why I didn't quote it correctly.
Right.
But anyway, you know, he has that attitude. The fans on stage will just get him when they get him. He feels like coming out.
Yeah.
You know, everyone hail me. I don't like his braggadocia sort of
little bit too boastful for you.
I actually enjoy a good attitude like that when it's done in fun, but when it's serious, I find that very off-putting. And see, I do it all the time,
yeah,
but I try to do it in a way that I'm clearly just having fun with,
yeah,
it.
The danger is it's very easy to do it, you know, intentionally, and then at the very last second, spin it as, oh, I'm just kidding.
But Kanye doesn't go that route.
No, he does. He skips that, oh, I'm just kidding at the end.
But I think it's because he's not kidding. I really think he's that much
those
of an
other
egomaniac.
People, but those other people that do it intentionally, and then at the very last second say, oh, I'm just kidding, they're also doing it intentionally.
Yes, but I don't like it that way either. I like it when you can tell as it's happening. It needs to be sprinkled in with the, I'm having fun here.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I like to say, like, one of my favorite, like, punchlines that I throw out when we talk about how humble I am, and they say, yeah, I'm so humble, I amaze myself. You know, that statement itself negates the fact that I'm being, you know, egocentric and whatnot. Like,
if you smile. But there are some people that don't realize that they're making fun of themselves.
True, but in my acting experience, I think I sell it.
All right, well, I guess we can agree to disagree here.
Well, we have no choice.
Yeah.
Because you're getting much further extreme as the presidential term draws on.
Yeah, the more this guy stays in power.
You know what you're reminding me of? You ever see... You remember the show The Good Wife?
No.
You've never seen The Good Wife? Juliana Margulies plays this wife whose husband cheats on her.
That doesn't help. I've never seen the show.
Well, I'm explaining it to you. Have you heard of The Good Wife?
Yes, I've heard the title, The Good Wife. When I'm searching for The Good Place, sometimes The Good Wife will pop up there.
Okay. I loved The Good Wife, and it was a lawyer show, and I like lawyer shows, but good ones. I'm tired of the campy dun-dun-dun Law and Order stuff. But anyway, I really liked The Good Wife, and then that show ended, and then they made the spinoff called The Good Fight. And it picks up where The Good Wife ended, but with different characters, or some of the same characters,
okay,
but not the expensive characters.
They killed some off, yeah.
Well, they literally killed some off, but that's, I don't want any spoilers there. But basically, they got rid of Juliana Margulies and all the biggest A names, and then kind of went on to like some of the B characters, or A minus characters from that show, and made this show. But there's a character in there, her name is Diane Lockhart, and she's a big deal in the Chicago lawyer world, and she's very much a proud liberal. And it shows how she's mentally breaking down in the presidency of Trump. And I feel like I'm seeing you in that. It's insane. You need to check out The Good Fight and watch the downward spiral of Diane Lockhart. It seems like she's letting these things that she really doesn't have control over, and honestly, she's making a bigger deal than they need to be. And she's letting those things tear her down, and she's literally losing her mind over something like she doesn't like who the president is. And I'm thinking, wow, I gotta save John. You're just boiling, I can see it. We should change subjects before it gets worse.
I have stuff.
All right. Let's think of a way to change gears before
All right. Did you watch this this new Avengers movie?
No.
No.
I haven't got to it yet. I still haven't seen Black Panther.
I thought we were nerds.
I have to admit, I haven't even seen Black Panther.
Well, I did go back and see the Ragnarok.
Okay, I saw that one. Everyone dies in the new Avengers, what I've heard.
That's what Mark Ruffalo said, and they won't give him a script anymore.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He leaked that people were dying?
No, he said that everyone dies, just off the cuff. Like, oh yeah, everybody dies in the Infinity War. And they're like, well, you're saying too much. You can't get the script anymore.
I hadn't heard that. You know, honestly, I like Mark Ruffalo, but I really don't care for the Hulk as a character. It seems very one-dimensional, even though they try really hard to make him
from
that.
From Thor Ragnarok, because we've both seen that
Yeah,
one.
We can talk that.
I cannot stand Bruce Banner. He is worthless. He is just like, shut up.
And I don't really love the way that this whole Hulk thing is like, now it's becoming almost like the Hulk is more personal than he used to be.
Yeah.
Like before, he was just the wild thing that goes nuts, and then when he calms down, he goes back. But Ragnarok, he was like a whole person.
Yeah.
And
no,
I don't like where they went with
I
that.
I enjoyed his person, but it didn't... It can't like keep its own movie.
Yes, it was fun for Ragnarok on its own, but it did not fit in with the Hulk character in the Marvel Universe that I felt like I knew. And honestly, I know he's impossible to kill, or darn near it, but I kind of would be okay to see him not come back. I have no desire to see him return, so I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well, they already have trailers of the Infinity War where you see the Hulk.
Well,
so
he
will be in the movie.
Yeah, I know he'll be in the movie. I don't know if he dies in the movie. I guess we'll see. You'll know. I have a friend who really follows the comics more diligently than I do. He said he was proud of the movie because it followed the comic more than he thought it would.
Yeah. No, it's good. The motivation that the big bad has is good. It's probably one of the best motivations for an evil character that I've seen.
To unite the universe under his rule?
No.
Well, again, I'm just grasping at straws. I know there's a gauntlet, and
there
he needs to get all
the
stones for his gauntlet.
The Infinity
Stones. And that
stones.
Basically makes him invincible.
Yeah. Well, one of the stones that this is common knowledge, you know, if you're familiar with before seeing
the
movie.
I am savvy with the stones. So
all the stones control a different kind of aspect of the universe. One of them controls reality, one of them controls time. So another one controls space, so he can kind of if he gets control of this one, he can kind of teleport wherever he wants.
Can he also teleport others, I assume?
Because it controls space, so you just move the space from there to there.
Well, I mean, the whole beginning of the Marvel movies was always Infinity Stone based. They just didn't call him that. The Tesseract and all that.
Yeah,
that was an Infinity Stone. The blue Infinity Stone.
There's an Infinity Stone inside of the Tesseract.
Well, okay, yes, the Tesseract was the device containing it. There's the Infinity Stone inside of what's his name?
What is his name?
The one that replaced Ultron.
The Vision.
Vision's forehead. And I know, and this is a spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet, I know this just because I know enough about the comics, that the only way that he's going to get all the Infinity Stones is by plucking that stone out of Vision's head, which means Vision has to die. That much I know.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong about it happening in the movie, but yeah. And they introduced him in the very first, one of the very first ones, in the end credit sequence.
Vision or Thanos?
Thanos.
Yeah.
I mean, it was way long ago.
I liked the Avengers because it had the fewest plot holes of most of the other Marvel movies.
That seems to be one of your sticking points.
It's huge
for
me. Yeah. You can't, like you've got the... I can't really go into it, but there's one bit that I was... Like, you can't do this way because of this. And then my wife countered a reason for that. And I'm like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Did you see the episode of... Oh, no, you didn't. Big Bang Theory?
No.
where Sheldon and the gang introduce Indiana Jones to his now fiancé back when they were dating. She had never seen Indiana Jones. So he makes her watch it, and she says, well, that movie was great, except for, of course, the glaring oversight in the movie. And they're like, wait, what? She's like, well, it's obvious, isn't it? They're, you know, of course, they love Indiana Jones, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, well, you think about it, the movie would have happened exactly how it happened. Everything would have happened the same, whether Indiana Jones was in the movie or not. Nothing he did actually changed any of the key events of the movie. And you think about it, and she's totally right.
Yeah.
If he hadn't, and they tried to shoot her down, and she kept on coming back. And every time they tried to find a way where it was important that Indy was part of the story,
yeah,
they couldn't disprove it. It was hilarious. And so, you know, I feel like you're one of those people that would, like, ruin it for everyone because of these plot holes. Not because you're trying to ruin it, just because you can't let that go.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
no, it's
which
very,
I don't mind that about
it's,
you.
It's very
like
important
that.
For things to not be stupid, for me.
When I see plot holes in movies, I kind of have this, ugh, why?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot, but we've talked about Back to the Future too.
Okay.
There's a lot of things in there that people just have major issues with, or the whole trilogy.
I need to rewatch the Back to the Future series because I remember it being an okay time travel movie.
Yeah.
But I bet you if I look at it now with a critical eye, I'll be like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't make sense. Why did this even happen?
The anytime you get into a timeline movie.
Yeah.
You have to establish a few things to even help it be in the realm of plausibility, and that's which version of time travel are you doing?
Yeah.
The kind of time travel where whatever you've done has already happened, and you don't realize it, you know what I mean? Where it is already happening, or does it create an alternate timeline? Is that the rule? You know, obviously this one plays off the timeline rule, but they have, on the bonus features, I have the DVD trilogy box set. And they have a special section in the bonus features where they dig through, like, the top 10 of these, like, continuity errors, and they explain them all in a pretty justified way. I was very proud of Zemeckis and whoever else it was in that commentary. They actually said, okay, we hear you, but let's explain this. And then you're like, okay, it makes sense now. So that's pretty fun. You should check that out.
Sure.
Well, let's finish on a final thought, and then you can go use the ladies' room.
Well, we didn't come up with an invention.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right? I have a movie that would be great. I don't think that it's been done.
I have ideas for movies, but can we count those as inventions?
Sure.
Okay. Let's hear it then.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
You know those scary movies that are,
the
you know,
parodies?
Comedies? Yeah.
Yeah, the Wayans Brothers.
I don't know if they've made a those destruction, like city destruction movies.
Oh, sure. Like The Day After Tomorrow,
yeah.
2012,
but have they made
San Andreas.
One, have they made one where it's a comedy, a joke off of all of the other ones?
You know, I think there is one called Disaster Movie.
Yeah, so we need another one like that. Because The Rock is currently doing two, like he's got that San Andreas, and now he's got another movie where he's flying a helicopter. And he's still like the star of the Disaster Movie where everything gets blown up. And I think we need one that stars The Rock and the helicopter. The helicopter needs to be a star too.
A character?
Yeah, like maybe it's a Decepticon or something like that. And the movie is called No One's Fault.
No One's Fault.
Yeah,
I
so
like
it's
the
another
pun there.
It's another disaster movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, there is a movie called Disaster Movie.
Okay.
I think it came out shortly after the Sharknado became the surprise sleeper hit of the year.
Yeah.
So it was a while ago.
So, I gotta use the restroom, you gotta go to school. Let's go be average elsewhere.
Let's do it.
And what was your...
I haven't thought of one yet.
Okay.
Are you as full as I am? Thanks for having lunch with us today. You can subscribe to the Let's Do Lunch podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play Music. We already made reservations at the next restaurant. Join us or we lose the good table.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Boating Tech. Boating Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Boating Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Boating Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.